When we think of Palm Sunday, we think of adoring crowds cheering a king. We don't tend to think of a cursed fig tree. But just one day after riding into Jerusalem, Jesus did indeed curse a fig tree for not bearing fruit. As we come to understand this event, it's clear that our bearing fruit is very important to God. What are the implications for you and me? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 21. Dr. Lutzer comes now to remind us that we weren't put here to just enjoy life. We're here to bear fruit that pleases Christ.
You and I exist to satisfy Christ. It's to find and develop and allow Him develop in us the kind of fruit that He finds very satisfying. It's the fruit of knowing that God is being honored. It's the fruit of knowing that our hearts and our character represent Him. It's the fruit of knowing that the inner nature of Christ is breaking out from us. We saw that this morning in the testimony that was given by Gary. He's not angry about the fact that his wife was cruelly murdered. The life of Christ within us. And the scripture says that if we do not bear fruit, we really have no purpose to live. Because Jesus said that the branches that don't bear fruit are thrown into the fire. And we could interpret that in various ways. One way most assuredly is that what we then do for God and for His glory is useless. And as far as God is concerned, there is no reason really for us to live. Why? Because God seeks fruit. The fruit of worship, yes. The Bible says that we should be fruitful in every good work. The fruit of praise, the praise of our lips. This is what God is seeking. And if we don't have it, God says, you've lost your purpose for living. So first of all, we've looked at what God purposed to do, that Israel should bear fruit. Secondly, I want us to notice that God's experience with the nation was the opposite. They did not bear fruit. First of all, He presented Himself to the nation. He comes as their Messiah. He comes as the one who is going to redeem Israel. He comes as the one who is doing miracles. He comes as the one who is qualified to forgive sins. And obviously He had that gift and that ability as the Son of God. And what does He receive? He receives rejection. The common people accepted Him, but the establishment said no. Because, not because of lack of evidence, but they saw Jesus as a threat to their way of life. Look at this man who overturns their tables. What did Jesus discover as He went into the temple area? What He learned there, and of course He already knew, was that they were filled with materialism. See, in those days, you had to bring a lamb during the Passover to be sacrificed. And that lamb had to meet specific qualifications. So what the priests would do is, if you brought your own lamb, they would find some reason why it was to be disqualified, and they would say, why don't you buy one of our lambs, because they have been pre-approved. They've met our approval. They're kosher. And so the people had to buy those lambs, but they had to buy them at a huge price. And the priests and the Pharisees were making money. Look at what the text says about the folks who sold doves. It says in the middle of verse 15 or verse 16, He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Why does it mention that? Doves were plentiful, and you could buy them for a few pennies on the open market. But what the priests did was they made sure that they had a huge markup. A dove that maybe sold for 25 cents in our money was sold for $3 or $4. And Jesus was so angry because his house, which was to be a house of prayer, was now turned into a den of thieves. It was the place where the thieves went and hid and made their money. That's what he got as he was there in the city of Jerusalem and in the temple area. Now you can imagine how Jesus felt about this. He goes to the very people who were a tree planted by God, a people who were to be fruit-bearing, a people who were to represent all that God wants to do in their lives of honesty, of purity, of single-heartedness. And this is what he finds. He comes to the tree and he discovers leaves. And leaves give the impression of religiosity. But when you go beneath the leaves, you discover that there is no fruit. And what was true back then can certainly be true today, and it is true today. I can't help but think that today I'm speaking to someone who has leaves. Maybe the leaves of baptism, or the leaves of church attendance, the leaves of respectability, because everyone thinks that you're a very fine person, and you make sure that they think that. But at the end of the day, what is missing is the life of God. Maybe those who are close to you know it. Your wife may know it. A friend may know it. Others may suspect you. But nobody really knows what goes on in your heart. And therefore, you have been caught up by the religiosity of the day, by the outward show. And the Jews had their leaves too. The priests would say prayers. There were Bibles that were in the synagogues, at least the Torah, the Old Testament, as it developed, was in the synagogue. They had all of these things, but inwardly, they lacked the life of God. Could I just look into your eyes today and ask you, do you have within you the life of God? Are you a fruit-bearing Christian? So we've talked about what God expected, fruit. We've spoken about what God saw and his experience, namely, barrenness, leaves with no fruit. And now we continue to look more carefully at God's judgment of the nation. I'm sure that you are startled as we read this passage of Scripture. You'll notice it says, in the morning, verse 20, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, let no one ever eat from you again. With this experience, the nation Israel's opportunity had passed, the high cost of lost opportunities. Because the nation was determined to crucify Christ. In fact, they wanted to wait until after the feast to do it. But when Jesus, in that triumphal entry, went down the slopes of the Mount of Olives, he precipitated such a demonstration that they had to deal with him right at that time. And that's why Jesus is crucified in the middle of the Passover, when the Passover lambs are being slain. Jesus, in effect, got himself crucified to fulfill Scripture. But he says, you're cursed. Now, what happened later, of course, is that the nation rejected Christ. It hardened itself against the Lord, against the Messiah. And Jesus brought his armies. That's what the Bible says. It says that Titus was really representing the armies of God. It shows you God's providence in history. But Titus came and surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and that was really the first Holocaust. If you read about what happened, you discover that the atrocities and the suffering and the human toll was absolutely unbelievable. Why? Because Jesus said to the nation, not one stone will be left upon another, because you do not know the day of your visitation. There is such a thing as an opportunity that is bypassed, that can never be reclaimed. And I want you to know today that some of you may be making decisions, wrong decisions, that can never possibly be reversed. Does that mean that no one within the nation is going to be blessed? No one within the stream of Jewish history? No, it does not mean that. As a matter of fact, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14, Jesus says this, "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree." He says this right after he talks about the great tribulation and the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory. He says he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door." And then Jesus goes on to talk about that generation that begins to see the fulfillment of the great tribulation will not pass, he says, until all of these things be fulfilled. Today, Jewish people are coming to Jesus Christ and trusting him as Messiah, and a whole generation of Jewish people will accept Christ. Paul says in the book of Romans, "So all Israel shall be saved." Even along with the curse, there is still a blessing. Now, how do we bring this down for ourselves so that we leave here today transformed by the power of God's Word? Three transforming lessons. First of all, the greater the privileges, the greater the responsibility. Let's not forget that. Israel was given the covenants. They were given all of the blessings of God. God was the one who planted them, who nourished them, who gave them the nutrients to bear fruit. And they didn't. And because their responsibility was so great, their judgment was so great. So let's keep in mind that it is God who says that unto whom much is given, much is required. We look at America today. Think of what God has given us. The strongest military power in the world. No one on planet Earth even comes close to the military might of the United States. Think of our Christian heritage. We used to say 15 or 20 years ago that we live in a post-Christian environment. That's no longer true. We have to say that today we live in a anti-Christian environment, where Christianity is spoken against deliberately. It is being attacked. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I don't want to alarm you, but there are forces even in Washington that would like to take away our freedoms. I believe that dark days are coming to the church here in the United States because we have turned away from so much light. And this message that I preached about lost opportunities is a very serious reminder of what Jesus is willing to do, even to his people, if we reject him and neglect him. I hope that you stay tuned, because next time I'm going to continue this series. And we're going to see how Jesus both encourages us and rebukes us, as he did his disciples that day on the Mount of Olives. I'll see you next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of his Palm Sunday message, "The High Cost of Lost Opportunities." Tomorrow, more lessons we must learn from a cursed fig tree. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This week's Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday messages will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. For more about that cursed fig tree, make it a point to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.